Would anybody like to share their memories? And we'll have this, and we'll put it up later as a podcast. If you have memories that you would like to share about Anita, this would be your time.
I have one memory. I'll promise to be very quick. So I love Anita very much because she was very, very helpful. She was always giggly. She was always cheerful in doing what she does. And she's going to be greatly missed. You know, there's an old saying, you know, she was here at church. I think that was about 2 weeks ago, and she's not here anymore. So we need to take the time to cherish our loved ones. So I just thank God that I had the privilege of meeting her.
Amen. I know you got something to say.
I always have something to say. I had the privilege of picking up her and Dee Dee and Lisa and Jane and Kimmy. We were all in David's car. And every Sunday they wanted to stop at 7-Eleven down there, wherever it is. And Anita always wanted a Pepsi and a taquito. And that's what she wanted. And Dee Dee wanted wings, I think is what it was. And anyway, so one day we were in the car alone, me, Dee Dee, and Anita. And I said, you know what? I've got two black women and I'm white. We're the Oreo gang. And they thought that was so funny. So that's what we called each other, the Oreo gang, for so long.
Me too.
And you too, yeah. You were in there smashed.
Double stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, well, what is he saying about you? Double stuff.
No, it's
me and you together.
Yeah.
I got you. Anyway, it was a pleasure and an honor to pick her up. I thought this morning when I got up, I got to call Anita and make sure she's, you know, tell her what time I went. No, you don't. No, you don't. So, but she was a special person and she was very, very kind to me. She was a confidant. We loved one another. We had good times together. She was having car trouble. This was like 10 years ago. And she didn't know what she was going to do. And so I asked my son, Greg, would you work on her car? So I said, will you come over on Saturday and he'll replace the part. And he did all that. And I made tacos and waited on her. And she went, I just feel like a princess. I went, well, you are. She is a beautiful lady. And we're going to miss her very much. Very, very much. She was a great Christian woman, too. She loved her God.
I have one. Okay. It's actually the last time we picked Anita up.
Oh, yeah.
So Kenneth had come and to go to church. So me and Kenneth were in the back seat. And Kenneth was sitting behind Anita, and she couldn't see who was in the car. And so Anita got in the car, and Mom's like, you know, come on in. And Kenneth decided he was going to play a prank on her, and he was like, hey, girl, how are you? And I just started laughing. She goes, oh, hey, girl, how are you? I just started on. And this starts going on for like 15 minutes.
He was going, I got the Holy Spirit, do you? And she went, oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Oh, no.
And this goes on for like 30 minutes. And I'm just in the back seat just laughing and laughing and laughing. And she goes, I don't think I've ever met you before. And she's like, no, I don't think I've ever met you before either. And this just goes on and on and on. And finally, I was like, I can't take it anymore, Kenneth. I'm laughing so hard. Just please stop. And Kenneth is just rubbing, you know, her shoulders and stuff, trying to, you know, let her know that it's him. And she's like, oh, girl, thanks for rubbing my shoulders and all this stuff. And I'm just in the back seat just laughing so hard. And finally I was like, Anita, that's Kenneth. And she goes, oh, Kenneth, you're the devil. It's exactly what she said.
Oh, no.
She's like, you pranked me so hard. And it was so funny. And we just all laughed and laughed and laughed, and that was actually the last time we picked her up. And it was the four of us, because she loved Kenny so much. And I was just glad the four of us just sat there and laughed and laughed. And I was just like, I can't believe that you got her to go along with that for so long. She's like, well, he really sounded like a woman. I was like, well, I don't know how to take that. But I was just glad we had that time together in the car every Sunday. You know, I was just glad that was the last time that we had, that she was feeling good that day, and we could all just have that last laugh. And she just always knew exactly what to say, you know, to make me feel better. You know, I would feel bad about myself hurting, and then here she is just feeling horrible all the time that you can never tell. So I could learn a lot from her, and I'm just so glad that was my last memory of her, though, just getting so, I mean, she was so mad at him. Once she found out that was Kenneth, she was so mad at him. And then we just all laughed the whole way to church. So I think that'll be my new favorite memory of her. But I just love her so much, and I'm glad that we got to spend those car rides.
All right. Well, that is a funny one.
It is a funny one. Yes, it is.
Anybody else want to say anything?
When we first met Anita, it's been 20 some odd years ago. She lived down here right off of Woodford, I'm sorry, right across the street from Barbara Collins, who was one of our members at the time. And she was a wonderful neighbor, a wonderful Christian lady. She watched after Barbara like crazy. Anytime Barbara needed anything, if she couldn't get it for us, she called one of us. And that's how she started coming to church with us. And I remember her taking care of Barbara and helping her so frequently. And she was such a sweet lady. We appreciated her.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think my favorite memory of her is that she had a zest for life, and even though she would always have a good attitude about things. I mean, even though she was feeling bad and hurting, and you know, she still every time I ask her, how you doing, Anita? And she'd say, fine. And I ask her, how was your week? And she says, God's been good to me this week.
Amen. Yeah.
We also got to take her home, pick her up and take her to when she was living with, I forget which one is which, the son that she was living with. Which,
that was Terrence.
That was Terrence, okay. Yeah, we got to meet Terrence a little bit. And then, Anita was always joyful and reminded me of my Aunt Linda. They had kind of an East Texas accent, or Louisiana. But anyway, she was a sweetheart.
Yes, she was. Well, I'm going to rephrase that. Yes, she is. She's up there, and she's not with us anymore.
Right.
She's still a sweetheart.
That's right.
Praise God.
Praise God. Well, we will have record of this, thanks to the audio recording, but we're here to honor Anita Rutledge Hooks. Born February 17th, 1956, left us for glory on August 25th, 2022. That date happens to be the same day as my mother and my and Linda's mother's birthday. But I know that Anita was here long before we came around.
Right.
My first memory of her is whenever Pastor would have her come up and play the organ. I know she was here. People have already talked about how she took care of Barbara, whom I never got to meet. But that's my first memory. This pastor would have her come up here and play a little song on the organ. And then I also remember that she was, she never was, she was always, she was, at least in here, I'm hearing stories that tell me she wasn't that way everywhere, but at least in here she was always kind of quiet. She was not, she didn't ask for much. If she asked for something, you knew she was something she really needed.
Right.
And she always had a smile. I've heard that over and over again as everybody has shared their memory. It's always that smile. Well, I couldn't see it, but I could hear it. And I noticed throughout the years that her prayers were usually not for herself. She prayed more, she asked more for herself as she got sicker. But even then, usually what she wanted was for us to pray for her family and her friends. Those were always topmost in her mind. So we grieve. And that's all right. That's appropriate. It's healthy. We love her. We're going to miss having her around. But we don't have to grieve without hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says we grieve, but we don't grieve without hope, because we know. We don't know always what's going to happen. It caught us by surprise, although we knew her health wasn't good. We don't know why things happen sometimes, but our hope is not in the temporary. Our hope is not in what happens here. Our hope is in the resurrection.
Amen.
Our hope is in Jesus.
That's right.
And if we understood heaven, if we understood the beauty, if we understood the perfection, if we understood what it would be like to be in union, in unity with the Creator of the universe, we'd have a whole different perspective. But we know that that is what awaits us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you."
Amen.
"And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be." Jesus is talking here to his disciples. This is just before he is going to be crucified. It's hours before he's going to be crucified. And he's offering these words of comfort. He's just told them, "I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away, and where I'm going, you can't come with me." And they must have been perplexing words to the disciples. You can read in that chapter, they're asking, "Why can't we go?" When he said it in another place, he said, "Why can't Peter said, "Why can't I go? I'll follow you anywhere." Of course, then Jesus tells him, "No, you won't. You'll deny me 3 times before the night's up."
Mm-hmm.
But praise God, Peter was restored.
Amen.
So later he would be crucified. But he came back. He rose from the dead. And he ascended. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And we have now his comforting words. I've got a place for you. I've got a place for you where we will eternally be in unity. But until that time, he said, "I sent you the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will be with you. He will comfort you. He will teach you. He will help you. He will guide you into all truth. What kind of place is this that he's prepared for us? Well, we don't know a lot about it, But we do know that the Word speaks of heaven coming down to earth. Jesus is coming again, and when he comes, the holy city is going to descend. John talks about a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation 21. The old has passed away. He talks about the new Jerusalem that came down. If it came down, that tells me that it must be there. That must be something that's in heaven. Heaven may be bigger than that. But we have this beautiful description. But the most beautiful thing about it, of everything, is that God is going to be with us.
Amen.
He's with us now in the form of the Holy Spirit. But soon, we will all be reunited. It says that he'll wipe away every tear. There's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more mourning. There's not going to be any more crying or pain. But this passage is the origin of the things that we think we know about heaven. You have the old joke about the rich man who was allowed to bring his briefcase into heaven. And he opens it up, and the angel says, "How come you brought pavement?" What is their life like now? Well, the only thing I know for sure is what the scripture tells us. And Paul says to be absent with the body, from the body, is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 5:8. In Luke, when he's talking to the thief on the cross, he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise."
Amen.
And we don't know a lot. I mean, there's some teaching about paradise, but it would appear that it either is or is part of heaven. From 2 Corinthians 12:4. But we know that the tree of life is there. It's said to be in the paradise of God in Revelation 2:6. We know that that's going to come down in this city when the city comes down in Revelation chapter 22. Which we talked about, the streets of gold. But here's the thing. Now, if we go back to our passage where he says there are many, many rooms, this particular translation said. Others say many dwelling places. You go back to the old King James, it says many mansions. That's where we get some of our ideas and our songs and so forth. But this much I know, if we've got streets and we got places to live, that tells me that there's activities going on in this city. Stuff is happening. We're serving God and there's activity, there's things going on. It's a big place too. It's 1,500 square miles. To give that some perspective from us down here, that's the distance between Raleigh, North Carolina, to 25 miles west of Amarillo. Or if you turn it the other way, that is New York to Cuba. Big place. And we talk about the pearly gates. God designs beauty as well as function. And I couldn't help saying one time, I know I've already told this joke around here several times, but I heard that one day and I said, "I want to see the oyster that made that pearl." But we know that there will be worship there. There will be worship of the Lord there. And we have the pictures of the clouds and the harps. The harps actually come from a passage out of Revelation. That refers to a specific group of people. I don't think everybody gets a harp unless you want one. I'm sure that whatever it is that you like to worship the Lord with, I don't know, maybe Anita's up there playing a really fancy organ. And John's accompanying her on the guitar.
Right.
But I know this for sure. They're worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
Do people have asked, well, are we going to remember anything? Well, I know that 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18 speaks of the resurrection, and it says, comfort one another with these words. Well, how can there be any comfort if there's no memory?
Right.
What? I think that it has to do with perspective. There is, it's interesting too when you see the transfiguration incident in Matthew chapter 17, and Moses and Elijah show up. Everybody knows Jesus obviously knows who we are. Maybe he told the other people, but it just seemed like they were known. Are they watching us? I know some people, we like to think it makes us feel good to think that our loved ones are up there watching us. It's unclear from the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 does talk about having a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. He's just finished what we call the Hall of Faith, where he went through all of the people that had gone before, all the Old Testament figures who were lauded for their faith. And that is the cloud of witnesses that he's speaking of. But whether or not they're physically watching or not, we know that there are no pain, that there's no pain and no tears, and that's why some people think there can be no memory, because if you remember what all happened down here, that would seem to be a source of pain and tears. But perspective. It's a matter of perspective. And when we're there, and now that they are there, they have a whole different view, because they're able to see things from God's point of view.
Amen.
So if we want to think about them being able to look down and see, I don't see that there's any harm in that. Although I kind of cringe at the thought. I think about Pastor David looking down and saying, "You just did what?" I know that that God is my judge, and He's still working on me.
Yeah,
He's
good.
But we take comfort. We take comfort because we know where they are. We take comfort because we know they're with Jesus, and the rest is all just detail. Imagine the person that you most love. Imagine that feeling that you have when you're with them multiplied exponentially. That's what it's going to be like when we get there. That's what it's like for those who have gone before us. And when we're there, we'll never have to be apart. And so we remember Anita. She is rejoicing with those who have gone before. And I know that she would want most for everybody that she knows to be with her someday.
Amen.
There could be no greater honor to her memory than to make that decision for anyone who hasn't made it and to be counted in that number when the saints go marching in.
Amen.
God loved us, gave Himself up for us so that we would have that way. And I know we don't have a live audience today, a live internet audience today, but we are making a podcast, and that'll be out there. So I think I know the status of everybody in here. Of course, only God knows your heart. I will say, if you don't know it, don't wait. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus, that confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
And then rejoice with us as we remember what is good. They called it on the website a celebration of life yesterday. And indeed, we do celebrate life, eternal life.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that comfort. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to enjoy her, Anita, while she was with us. Now it's your turn. But we're going to see her when we get home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.